Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Tonight on our show, I have Zaina Williams. Hi, Zaina.
Hi, Kimmy. How are you?
Good. Why don't you start off by, like I was saying, I know you are right now in law school, and you do a lot kind of in the community and for others. So why don't you just start off by telling the audience a little bit about yourself, what you do, how you kind of got into doing the things that you do?
Sure, absolutely. Like you said, I'm currently a second-year law student out here in San Diego, California. I'm from Oklahoma, and my background is political. So I was a political campaign consultant, do some work there. I still do a little bit of consulting, as well as I do a lot in the community. Some of it is not, well, none of it is really for props. It's all because every single thing that I do is something that I completely believe in and I'm passionate about. So even one scenario would be a young lady, met her, she was verbally abused by her father, worked with her and a couple of other people to get her emancipated. Now, I believe she just graduated from OU College, Oklahoma University College, met her when she was 14. We worked, got her emancipated. I don't know, I just like taking on different projects, if you will, or different cases, trying to make a little difference in every way that I can.
What made you want to go to law school?
Something that I've always known since I was about 12 years old, actually even younger than that. I can remember sitting down watching that O.J. Simpson trial, thinking to myself, and I'm pretty sure I actually said it because my grandmother was like, okay, Zaina. But I remember sitting there thinking and probably saying out loud that I was going to solve the case before anybody else was. Just sitting crisscross applesauce glued to the TV, just watching every single witness that was questioned and like putting my pieces of the puzzle together. So at that point, probably even younger than 12, I knew that I knew. But officially, I believe, I don't remember, I think it was 12 to 14, somewhere in there, I got in trouble. I got sent to the principal's office.
Oh, no.
And so the principal said that I, you know, maybe have been skipping class to talk to the secretaries at my school. And that I would have to take an extra class. And so he made me pick an extra class to take, and I chose mock trial and debate. And from there, it's just been a nonstop romance with law.
Okay. Wow. Talk to us about, I know I have had some friends and people I know who had a very hard time getting into law school or getting into the school of their choice. If someone says, and they know, like, this is something that I want to do, what kind of recommendations would you give, or what kind of guidance would you give to somebody if they say, this is a goal I want to achieve, I want to get into law school, like whether it's from the LSAT or getting your letters of recommendation together? What kind of advice would you give?
Go hard, be all in everything that you do, but especially for this. Law school for me, I've always been a social butterfly. What comes to me naturally is connecting and networking with people. What does not come naturally to me, however, is the work that it takes to sit down with a book and just read for like 4 or 5 hours straight. I've never been the school type of woman, but it's just something you have to sit down. You just have to focus in and do. So focus on your grades. I know everybody says it's not what you know, it's who you know, but who you know is a lot easier to come across than producing the grades that you're going to need to get in. So focus on your grades. The networking, that will come easy and that will come later. So focus on your grades.
So getting your grades up. How was the LSAT for you?
It was tough. I actually took it 2 times. So we're going to have a very real moment. The first time I took it, I did not get it. I got accepted to 2 law schools way late in the game, but I had so many denial letters. I still have all those denial letters on my vision board, on the back of my vision board. Mm. Okay. So I retook the LSAT, ended up getting in to, I think, 3 schools, but the school that I'm at now was one that I'd visited and for several reasons wanted to go there for a little bit and see what happened. So got in. Second time was the charm.
Just because I know you personally, I know that from the time of you like working on the LSAT and working on getting into law school from when you finish undergrad into getting and starting law school, you experienced a lot of personal hardships. And I think that's such an important part of your story, because you were able to accomplish such a difficult task that many can't, applying and getting into law school while you were going through so many personal changes. Would you be willing to talk a little bit about that and how, given the things that were going on with you, to the extent you're comfortable sharing, how are you able to still push forward and do the goals that you had said you wanted to accomplish for yourself, which was getting into law school and going on the route to becoming an attorney?
Absolutely. I would say for me, I had to learn my value, number one, which I'm still learning. It's an everyday process. I had to learn my value because I grew up in Oklahoma, and especially coming from a political background and consulting and different things like that, it's hard to be taken seriously as a minority female in that atmosphere, because you're with a very large crew of very wealthy men. So it's harder to be taken seriously as a female. So that was one of the things that I had to learn, was that my call and who I am is not to be subservient. I have to know my value to push forward. For so long, I was a legal secretary or a bailiff, or, you know, helping out with clerking, stuff like that. But I just had to realize, no, I deserve to go to law school. I deserve the title of being the campaign manager, campaign consultant. So that was one of the things that has been a journey for me. The other thing is, I lost my father in 2014. Shortly before that, I lost my grandmother, and just went through hell and back. I think it was 3 car accidents in a year and a half.
Wow.
Just the most insane testimony. By the grace of God, I'm alive. But the journey has not been easy. It's a victory some days just to get out of bed and to brush my teeth and get up and keep going.
Right.
But, so, you know, just keep pushing. That's all I can do.
Thank you for sharing. I know that's very hard to lose like a parent, and you're still really, really young. What helped push you forward, you know, while you're still grieving, to get through the process and have all the like high stakes testing, really detailed applications? Like, what kind of helped you on the daily to like stay on track? Like, I know I need to study this much today. I know I need to do this. Like, what supports did you put in place for yourself?
Honestly, there are 2 things that got me and are still getting me through this process, because the grieving process for me still is not over.
Absolutely.
It's still a journey, and it's one that I'm still working through. But I would say my mom was number one. Actually, number one is God, but number 2 would be my mom.
Okay.
Seeing her strength. I mean, I know how much if she wasn't here, I probably wouldn't be alive. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't know that it would kill her, if I would have taken the step to maybe end my own life, then I probably would have, because my world revolved around my father, loving him, taking care of him and his illness. And I just truly did not believe that he would ever pass away. I'm gonna be honest, he was super.
Right. Yes.
So seeing her strength and watching her get up and put makeup on and still look beautiful every day, and watching her struggle through it and putting up with my nonsensical ways
right.
during the grieving process, like, her strength motivated and still does inspires me.
Yes.
So the other thing is God, because without God, there are times when during this grieving process, I have literally cussed at God. And I know that's the thing you're not supposed to say, but that's the truth, because I felt like he hated me. Why would you take something that meant so much to me?
Right.
You know what I mean? And
it's
just
such
I believed
a time.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really hard.
So he pursued me.
He pursued you.
Yeah. God is the most beautiful image of love that I've ever felt, is that even when I was running from God, and please believe, during this grieving process, I have run from God. He has pursued me and showed me what true love looks like despite it all.
Mm-hmm. When you got the scores that you wanted to get on the LSAT, or you got the acceptance letter for the school you wanted to get at, you weren't able to, your father was gone at that point, but I saw you really posted a lot where you still seemed very proud of yourself and kind of knew he was still there with you in the journey. Can you talk through that experience for you? Because I thought that was very, just took a lot of strength to do, even to post and put all of that on social media, even when you were still studying for the LSAT, to be able to put some of those things and just still knowing that his presence was there as you were kind of pushing forward. Did that help you in healing or in your healing? Because it's still a journey.
Right. Transparency has always been something I'm an advocate of. Mm-hmm. There's no sense in if my journey and my grief and this process can help motivate somebody else to know that if I can still keep going despite it all, they can still keep going, then why wouldn't I share it? I've never been the best at being completely private and secretive and the quiet, sweet little girl. I've just always been very transparent and honest. And to be honest, that created a level of accountability, because when I do post my journey from whether it be weight loss or through my dad's sickness or through this, you know, getting into law school campaigns, things like that, it holds me accountable because now I know that people are looking at me and
right.
I get messages from people who are inspired to keep going, then that means I can't give up. Now I have somebody holding me accountable. So it helps motivate me.
So it sounds like big things for you were your support circle, vulnerability and visibility.
Absolutely.
Are big things. I know you do a lot of speaking engagements, whether it's talking to small groups of younger people or adults. I know you do mentoring at the law school for first year law students. How did you kind of get into wanting to do more of those like engagements? Because I know a lot of people sometimes want to be speakers. They have very powerful stories like yourself, but they don't necessarily feel they have the strength or they don't feel like they're qualified to do it. Can you kind of talk through that, how you got comfortable to kind of do that in that type of platform? And what advice would you give to people or someone who would like to get into public speaking?
Sure. I've always been the person who's very comfortable public speaking, more so than even 101 conversations, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know why, but that's just always how I've been. I've always been very outgoing, and I love helping people self-actualize their goals, visions, and dreams. My first, I guess, outside of like high school competitions, mock trial, debate, things like that, my first, I guess, motivational speaking engagement, as twisted as this might sound, was my dad's funeral.
Oh, no. Wow.
After the funeral, people came up to me and said that they'd never been to a funeral like that before. Giving the eulogy at my dad's funeral, I did it because my mom and I discussed it, prayed about it, and realized that there's no one else that my dad would have wanted to do it other than me, right?
Wow.
It was my heartbeat. So I got up there, and all I knew is that just because like myself and my mom were suffering doesn't mean that the story of his life isn't a motivation in itself. And
wow.
His story motivated other people. I still get messages from people who come and tell me that they remember that funeral. And I've never in my life heard anybody until then say that they actually enjoyed a funeral.
Right.
So as weird as that
sounds, yeah.
Being able to uplift people in that moment of weakness and sadness and transparency was kind of a launching board for speaking, public speaking and motivation for me.
Wow. So that event within itself still had transformational value for you and people really able to affirm you. What type of motivational speaking do you do? Like what type of topics do you usually do for your engagements?
I actually, right after my father passed, part of my healing process, I just needed out of America for a minute to get my mind right.
I understand.
So I ended up in Lesotho, Africa, and a good friend, she has a nonprofit out there. She connected me with the U.S. Embassy. And so I did a speaking engagement for them called the Pledge for Parity. And it was just about equality among the genders out there. Women are viewed as very subservient and less than in that particular area. So I got to speak with a young group of individuals, young being anywhere from probably like 12 to 21, 22. Our youth are our future. And I believe you have to get on board with educating our youth and motivating them to take a stand, because when they take a stand, we are better as a nation, we are better as a culture, we are better as a world. So I love speaking to younger crowds. I love speaking to corporate CEO type positions. Anybody who needs a swift kick in the behind, a reminder of how valuable and amazing they are. I'm about it. I love it.
It is great. How long were you over in Africa for?
I believe 3 or 4 weeks that
round. Oh, wow. So you had a nice little time too. With the law students, how often are you mentoring them? So that's a pretty big part of what you do too, a lot of mentorship.
Yeah. I do a lot of individual stuff.
Okay.
I don't know why. I've never been the person to color within the lines. It's just not my MO. Not too good at it. I really personally mentor certain students. Like, I try to identify those students ahead of time. Oh, okay. I'll look for certain characteristics. I have mentored, of course, through our La Raza Lunge program this past summer. And then last semester, I was a teaching assistant, like a professor's aide, like teaching them, helping them understand the material. This semester, I really just have my eye on a few students, very special individuals, and they know who they are if you're listening to this. So, and I just work with them, anything that they need, anything that I can help them with. And down moments, I remember how I felt my first year of law school. And if I can help, hopefully get them past that and over that hump and not have to go through the feelings and experiences I did, I'd love to do it. So I just work individually with people and outside of the school.
That's great. Now, if someone wants to get in contact with you, or for anyone wanting to follow your journey, I know not even if they're just like law school, I know grad school is tough, just a lot of undergrad. You have a lot of inspirational things. How could someone follow your journey through law school now and to becoming an attorney? And also, if someone wanted to contact you about speaking engagements, you do a lot of motivational speaking. How would they get in contact with you?
I'm getting a lot better at utilizing my Facebook. So follow me on Facebook, Zaina, Zaina Lynn Williams, Zaina Lynn Williams. Follow me on Facebook, or you can email me at Zaina, Zaina Williams, the number 94 at gmail.com.
That's great. And Zaina, what would you say to close up? What is your personal mantra or your quote? What gets you through day to day? What keeps you focused on your goals and conquering and achieving them?
But God.
I love it.
But God. Because without him, there's no me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know we have known each other from the years, even from Nubian Wellness. You also have some blogs on NubianWellness.com. You still have some material on there as well, where you have really chronicled even some of your early evolution when you were younger in school. So that's also another place where people could access a lot of your work. So just thank you so much for your time and sharing your story to so many others as you continue to do every day. You really are empowering and motivational, and I'm so glad that we have crossed paths and that you're in my life, and I'm so happy that you were on the podcast with me this morning.
Thank you, Kimmy, for having me. You're motivational as well.
Thank you so much. I know we'll have you back again. So until next time.
Yes, sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.